We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home. We're up to the first chapter, the 15th Mishnah. Shammai Omer. We have shifted to Shammai. Shammai teaches us, Asei Toratcha Keva. Make sure your learning is a constant. There are two opinions as to how this works. Okay, we're going to get now some tips on how to make the most of our learning. One opinion says, make sure you have a certain amount you try to cover every day. You can tell yourself, I do two halachot and kitzur shchan aruch every day. That's what it's called, make your Torah constant. The other opinion says, no, make a constant amount of time. You should know how much time you're learning. Now, this is a concept also in the laws of learning Torah. It says, did I tell you guys the story of my wedding night? No. It says that you should, if you want to get the crown of Torah, you shouldn't miss even a single night of learning Torah. So, when we got married, I told the chavrusa of mine, I said, here are photocopies of what we're learning. When everyone sits down for the meal, I'm going to run out. They'll think I went to the bathroom. I'll meet you at the cheder yichud, and we'll learn there for 15 minutes. Because it says, if you want to get the crown of Torah, you shouldn't miss even a single night of learning Torah. I don't want to miss. So, no one will know. We'll hide out in the cheder yichud, and you and I will learn for 15 minutes. That much I could disappear from the wedding. If I went to the bathroom, no one would stop me, right? Okay. So I run into the cheder yichud. I give him the sign. Everyone's sitting down to eat. I say, I'll be back in a minute, right? I run into the cheder yichud. He has it ready. We start learning. 5 minutes pass, and who walks in? My mother-in-law. So she was so respectful, she didn't even look at what I was doing. She was like, I got scared. She ran in to get something from the room, said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were here. I'm sorry, your wife needs something. She grabbed it and left, and I had my my 10, whatever, how many minutes of learning that night. It says, hey, you have to have a constant in learning. But I want to discuss this for a minute, because sometimes people get carried away with this idea. I heard an amazing story this morning. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it online, so our listeners will forgive me. I could say it, but then I can't say who. You guys, I'll tell who at the end of class. It's phenomenal to know who the story is about. Used to be there. If you push this, you see. Okay, so you could put it over there. So our story is about a very, 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 very big Talmid Chacham who finishes all of Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam every year. And he was, he finishes a tremendous amount every year. On leap years, he has an extra month, right? A Jewish leap year, so that's when he writes a book. Because he has an extra month for his learning, so that's when he writes a book. Every leap year, he puts out another sefer. So his father told him, you have to get married. We have a good date for you. And his father's a huge Talmid Chacham, was a huge Talmid Chacham. So he said, date, girl, what will I talk to her about? So his father said, the girl we want to set you up with is an accountant. And you're learning the laws of taking interest, the laws of ribis, that's what you're learning now. So talk to her about, she knows math, you're learning, talk to her about that. It worked. She got very excited. They got married. He didn't talk to her. So she went crying to her father and said, what am I supposed to do here? So she said to her father, you know, I got sick and I asked him to make me a cup of tea. I was lying in bed with a high fever. I asked him to make me a cup of tea. He said, tea? How do I make tea? He said, just a second, I'll try. So he went to the other room and he took a cup and he put a tea bag. And then he pushed the knob and he saw that few drops of water come out of the hot water urn. So he said, boy, this takes a long time. So he left it there. And he said, why should I stand there watching every drop that comes out into the tea bag? I'll take a sefer until it's ready. He took a sefer. An hour later, she calls him and she says, did you forget my tea? So he goes, wait, 1 second. She comes out of bed and she sees the whole floor is flooded with boiling hot water. He forgot about, he looked in a sefer and a second later he was gone and the whole floor is flooded with hot water. So she went to her father and said, how am I supposed to connect to this man? And he said to her, don't ask him to make you tea, you make him the tea. So she said to her father, what do you mean? He said, find out when he stops his learning, and then you be there and ask him when he wants, you should prepare him a drink. And then when he wants the drink, you sit and talk to him. But don't stop. Talk. So that's what she did. She said, what time do you finish your learning? He said, 3:00 in the morning. She said, what do you want to drink at that time? He said, a cup of coffee. She said, fine. So at 3:00 in the morning, she was up, ready with a cup of coffee, and she welcomed him. He picks up his head, he finishes his learning, he comes, and she has a cup of coffee for him. He's sipping the cup of coffee, she's talking away. And she's talking for a half hour and an hour. And that's how she taught him to talk. Because when he got married, he had no concept of talking. His concept was Torah. And she said to him, you're married to me, you have to talk to me. So he said, what do you mean? So she said, I'll show you. And it reached a point where she taught him that when she had to go take one of the kids to the doctor, he'd walk her to the doctor. They'd get to the doctor's office, he'd ask her, do you want me to come with you? She'd say, no, I prefer you go learning. He went to learn, she took the kids to the doctor. But she taught him. Now, not every woman today, what would a woman do under those circumstances? She'd say, get a good goodbye. I married a partner, you're not my partner, forget it. But many of us are capable of doing these types of mistakes. So we won't do it in the way that rabbi did it. We'll do it in our own realm. So we have to start thinking about the partnership that we enter in marriage. Partnership means I have to think about her needs. What are her needs? She needs to talk. She needs you should listen. She needs you should talk. Now that's very hard for us men. It's very hard. I have to talk. I'll tell her facts. I'll tell her blurbs. No, she needs you to talk. The Gemara says there are certain needs that a woman has and they have to be met. Shammai just taught us, make your Torah constant. You know what the Gemara says is the major cause of fights in a house? Who knows? What does the Gemara say? One major cause of fights in the house. And it's not your mother-in-law. It's not listening. Money. How'd you know? The Gemara says, "Ein meriva metzuya bebeito shel adam." You don't find fighting in a person's house unless it's around wheat. The Gemara was talking about food. The Gemara meant money. You know, in their days it wasn't about money, it was about food. The Gemara says there's a basic necessity every woman needs, and that is to have the security that she knows that she's taken care of. Now, what does that mean to give her security? Wait a second, Shammai just told me, make your Torah constant. So I should walk home from the marriage or walk into the date and say, I learned Torah. What are we going to eat? I learned Torah. You guys know the joke about the Ribon Shalom? You know the joke about God? You don't know the... Okay. I don't always tell jokes, but sometimes this is a joke I grew up on. A guy comes to take out a girl on a date. Now, this is in America. In America, you're supposed to pick up the girl from her parents' house. So he's learning in yeshiva, and he goes over to pick up the girl. So you get an interview by the girl's father, right? I did this once. I did very poorly. I showed up, and I'm sitting there, and the girl's father is talking to me about all kinds of things, and I said, you got a Dvar Torah? That wasn't the right thing to say. I said, you know, why don't we talk Torah? You want to tell me something you're learning about? I'll tell you what I'm learning about, right? He wanted to know where my family's from, and that, I should have played along his way. But at any rate, so the guy shows up to the house, and the girl's father asks him, oh, so you want to take on my daughter? He says, yeah, I heard a lot of nice things about her. He says, you know, after you get married, you might need to eat something. How do you plan on eating? So he says, they're bonshaw, God will help. So he says, you know, you might sometimes need a doctor. How do you plan on paying that? So the guy goes, God will help. So So he goes, you know, that's good, but you're going to have to pay rent. What are you going to do? So the guy goes, God will help. Okay, they go out on a date. They come back. The girl's father asks her, how was the date? So the girl says, amazing. So the father says, really, what do you mean? She says, we went on the date, and I understood now that he thinks I'm God. So, coming back to Shammai, the Gemara says, "Asei Torat Hakeva." We have to make our. Can you imagine? I learned in Kollel for almost a decade after getting married, but I grew up on this joke. Not so much fun. Coming back to our Shammai says, "Make your Torah constant." There's a basic concept. And how you play it out is interesting. What I'm going to tell you now is my tradition. I'm not saying it's the only approach, but this is what my Rebbeim taught me. You want another joke?
Yes.
Rav Kupferman was the head of the girls' seminary down the block, Michlala. So he used to tell all his girls, marry someone who learns Torah, marry someone who learns Torah. Then he'd tell them, you know, in the Ksuba, it says that he's supposed to support you. But the Ksuba, they wrote in Aramaic so that you won't understand that. So that's my tradition is not like that. My tradition is that the Ksuba writes the way a natural relationship has to evolve. That means that a wife has to have the security knowing that you're taking care of her. Now, that means it could be that your agreement is that right now you're going to learn and she's going to work. That could be. But there's a basis of how the relationship works. Meaning, asei Torat Hakeva. So a guy says, I'm going to learn. And the wife says, what are we going to eat? And he goes, I'm going to learn. That's not an answer. There's a responsibility to give her the feeling. The important thing here is the feeling. The result, you agree with your own wife. You could agree that you make more of a living, less of a living. That's not the point. You could agree you're going to have 3 apartments to live in, one for the morning, one for the afternoon, one for the night, one for the summer, one for the winter, one for the autumn. You could live with it. Whatever you guys agree, that's your business. However, the basis of the ksuba, the basis of the relationship is she has to feel like he is responsible. Even if she's working, she has to know that if something happens, you're taking responsibility. Now, some women only feel confident if you have a degree. Some women feel confident if you have a part-time job. Some women feel confident if you have a plan. But every woman, the Gemara says, you want to fight in your house? Then create a reality where she cannot be confident as to where her food is coming from tomorrow. That reality, says the Gemara, is what brings fights into the house. Right? That's the Gemara. The Gemara gives us one formula for fights in the house. It says that. Now, you guys want tips on money management? Or we'll do that next week, because we're already covering a lot of things. We want to get back to root. You want one interesting tip on money management? I'll give you a tip which I'm a big believer in. Some men, no, so there's one rule, which is the poor remain poor. And one of the reasons is that the poor don't believe they'll get rich. The Gemara says the poor don't believe they'll get rich, so they're willing to waste money, like you said, on buying pizza. If you think that you will have the money to invest in buying something in a half a year, then you save for it. If you think you're never going to have money to invest, so you'll always pay rent and you'll never own your own house, and so then you're willing to spend money which you could have saved otherwise, and you don't even view it that way. The poor tell themselves, I'm enjoying life, when they don't realize they're really destroying their future. That's one tip the Gemara gives us about money. It says the reason the poor stay poor is because they don't believe they won't be any other way, and so they want to enjoy the now because they don't believe they'll have a better future. That's one monetary tip. I want to give you another monetary tip. There are many men who like to control the money, that he knows what's going on in the bank. And it's a huge mistake in our day and age, because what ends up happening is the following relationship evolves. The wife is told, don't worry about the money, I'm taking care of it. I'm covering our electric bill, I'm covering our gas. Now, many guys feel very good about that. I'm the man, I'm taking care of a lot of things. But what's really happening is, the relationship that's evolving is, I will make the money, you will spend the money. I will make the money, you will spend the money, right? There was a bank, a person walked into the bank, and he saw two lines. And he said, he went to the head of the bank and he said, I'm going to report you. I've never seen such discrimination in my life. I've never seen a bank where there's a line for men and a line for women. Why do you do such a thing? So the guy says, I didn't discriminate. He says, what do you mean? Look, he says, they're making deposits and they're making withdrawals. That's all. So if you create that relationship, if what you're doing is you're giving her the feeling that what she spends you cover, so she will do her end. Don't worry, she will spend. She will. And then women come back with this very interesting claim. You don't want me to buy shoes for your kids? You don't want me to buy food? Tell me where to cut the budget, right? Women always come back. And then if she goes to the shekel store and buys 30 shtuyot, I don't know what, for a shekel, she goes like, a shekel is what broke our piggy bank. If she knows what's going in and she knows what's going out, then she shares in the responsibility. If you're not going to keep her partner in what's going on, then in the end, what ends up happening in many homes is that she just says, what do you want? You don't want me to pay the electric? You don't want me to pay the rent? You don't want me to pay the gas? Where do you want me to cut corners? And you don't have an answer. You really don't have an answer. But if she's a partner in what's coming in and in what's going out, then you're the one that says, what do you want? You see what's going in. You tell me where you think we should cut the corners. Tell me what you think we should do different. Your partners, that partnership allows you to build together. So today we discussed two shitot in Rashi. What's a seitot hakeva? Make your Torah constant. We discussed the idea that the Gemara says a person should know that his wife needs security financially because that's the main cause of fighting in the house. By the way, psychologists today, there are three main causes of fighting. Psychologists say, you know what are the top three? In-laws, money, and intimacy. Those are the top three. Intimacy. Frustration. The couple isn't happy with their intimate life. Those in-laws, money, and but the Gemara puts it on what? The Gemara says money. The Gemara says the major cause of fighting in the house is a wife's security, the sense that she has, that she knows she's taken care of. And here, we discussed that how that breaks down. You have to figure out within your own house, but you have to know that she needs that security. It's what that security is, each family does their own. Like a guy once told me, he says, we had an inheritance from my mother. We always thought we had bitachon. We always said, Hashem takes care of everything, everything's good. Our bitachon was in the inheritance. He said they had a big inheritance. So they every time they had a problem financially, they tap into that. When they finished that off, then suddenly they realized they didn't have so much bitachon anymore. And they always said, Hashem's taking care of everything's good. Hashem's taking care of it. But okay, it doesn't matter. So long as a wife feels secure. How you manage financially, you have to figure out. But how you manage to build your home is a totally different question. That's the question of giving her a sense of security. I'll add one more point, which is very interesting. I don't know of a Gemara that says this. I heard this from Rabbi Feinstein. Rabbi Feinstein said that every wife needs to feel that her husband is a success. He said, aside from the financial security, you could have a home where they inherit it. I know a guy whose father-in-law is a multimillionaire. When they got married, he gave him a credit card. He said, I won't look at what you charge. You have an open bank account. Buy whatever you want. So now what's the guy supposed to do? He was just given on a silver platter tens of thousands of dollars a month. Right, true story. His father-in-law said, here's a credit card, use it in good health. Goodbye. I've just given you a limitless gift, right? Whatever the limit on the credit card is, you can max it out every month. I'm not asking questions. I want to support you guys. Yeah, but you know what? His wife started feeling like her husband's a loser. Rabbi Feinstein said that every wife has to feel like her husband's not a loser. And he said that's a need. And the way to meet that need changes from couple to couple. One wife is thrilled when her husband is the carpenter. One wife is thrilled when her husband is the shoemaker. One wife is thrilled when her husband is the milkman. Doesn't matter what. It could be that the wife is thrilled that he's learning, but she needs to know that an hour a day he does X. You know, I told some guys, get smicha. Because if you get rabbinic ordination, then your wife feels like you've done something. I told another guy, make sure you make a siyum. Every time you finish a tractate, make a big celebration. That way your wife feels like you're accomplishing something. Meaning the wife has to feel like she's married to a successful person. Every person wants to feel like they're married to a successful person. Or every wife wants to feel that. Now what gives her that feeling? That changes from wife to wife. What Rabbi Feinstein said is that even if the wife doesn't feel that without his going to work, then he has to fit in work into his learning. That was a big thing that he said. Work is not only to give her financial security, it's also to make her feel like her husband is a success if that's what she needs. Depends on the woman. He said, you know, there are women who need that. If she feels like if he's learning all day, he's not. If that's how she feels, he said he has to meet that. He has to leave yeshiva. Maybe he'll be a third grade rabbi. But that was an interesting insight I heard from Rabbi Feinstein. So there we said 2 points about money. The security a wife needs to know that she's going to have the basic necessities, whatever that is, the couple decides, and the feeling that her husband's a success. And we will pick up here, Bezat Hashem, next week. Next week again, Sunday we don't have class, Monday, okay? Sunday is Shavuot.